was fun. For those of you that aren't active members of the congregation and may not be aware what's happening with us this summer, our pastor, Brooks Barrett, is now, I think, in the third Sunday of a 13-week sabbatical leave. And we as a congregation chose to use this time to have individuals within the church have the opportunity to share something about themselves. We call it opening our gifts, so that we might get to know each other a little better. And the gift that I would like to share with you today is not as much of being a preacher as it is of being someone who can offer some assistance in guiding us to think a bit together and deepen ourselves in our faith. So in a little bit, I will be kind of asking you to share what it is that you find is the deepest piece of your faith or the deeper pieces. But before I do that, I want to kind of set the stage a little bit with kind of a point and counterpoint. Harken back to the end of the 19th century when there was a lot of intellectual awakening going on in our society. People were beginning to use applied methods of analysis on the Bible and to think about how it came together, and maybe it had multiple sources, and just really kind of thinking about how our scripture came into being. The theory of evolution had come forth, and it made so much sense to so many people, and the church was accommodating that in some important ways. But there was a group of people who at the end of the 19th century and very early in the 20th century decided that that modernization of the church was not what the church should be about. And so they called themselves fundamentalists, and that was where that term was coined, even though it's come to mean other things to other people. And they came up with a list of five things that were absolutely fundamental to them about Christianity. The first of these was the inerrancy of the Bible, that the Bible was dictated to the people that wrote it down by God, and there were no errors. And the second one is that the biblical accounts must be taken as absolutely literally true, especially those accounts about Christ's miracles and the creation account in Genesis. Third principle of absolute necessity for them was recognition of the virgin birth of Christ. Fourth was the bodily resurrection and physical return of Christ. And the fifth was what's called the substitutionary atonement of Christ on the cross. Basically means somebody had to die and really descend and really suffer, and Christ did it so we won't have to. Well, those are not my fundamentals, but those were those people's fundamentals. A counterpoint to that, which is much more modern and I find thought-provoking, is an organization called progressivechristianity.org. And they are the source for our Sunday school curriculum. And they have put out a list of 8 points that they think are crucial. It says, by calling ourselves progressive Christians, we mean that we are Christians who, one, believe that following the path and teachings of Jesus can lead to an awareness and experience of the sacred and the oneness and unity of all life. Two, we affirm that the teachings of Jesus provide but one of many ways to experience the sacredness and oneness of life, and that we can draw from diverse sources of wisdom in our spiritual journey. Three, we seek community that is inclusive of all people, including but not limited to covenantal Christians and questioning skeptics, believers and agnostics, women and men, those of all sexual orientations and gender identities, and those of all classes and abilities. Four, we know that the way we behave towards one another is the fullest expression of what we believe. Five, we find grace in the search for understanding and believe there is more value in questioning than in absolutes. Six, we strive for peace and justice among all people. Seven, we strive to protect and restore the integrity of our earth. And finally, 8, we commit to a path of lifelong learning, compassion, and selfless love. Two very contrasting and different kinds of sets of what might be called fundamental beliefs. So now it's our turn. It's our turn to think a little bit together about what it is that gives us meaning, that gives our faith meaning, that makes our lives as Christians, as people of faith, be meaningful and deep in our lives. I'm having a little trouble with this cord. It keeps doing strange things. So I'm going to come down the center aisle and see if there are those who have been thinking about this question who might be willing to share. Doesn't have to be deep and profound, but something about what it is about your faith that gives meaning to your life. I think the logjam will break after one or two kind of step up first. All right, good. Thank you, Marilyn.
For me, it's knowing that I can connect with that still small voice that comes to me, that I can find answers within.
Wonderful, thank you. Patty.
I've had the opportunity from time to time to share what I feel as sort of a synthesis of my faith. And growing up Presbyterian, I like to say that the Catholic Church has no corner on guilt. But speaking of guilt, that's really what it boils down to. For me, the thing that sets Christianity apart and makes it be the religion that I choose for myself is just that I feel like that I am saved by grace. And although my works do speak to the depth of my faith, thank God, it doesn't all boil down to whether I get it all right.
Thank you. Thank you, Daryl.
I think for me, it's that God loves me enough, and that's amazing, that he will be with me every moment of every day and night, all of my life.
Thank you.
I'm David. Faith for me is an unmerited gift, one that I never worked for, never strived for, couldn't give to anyone. It's just an endemic part of myself. And without it, the world doesn't make sense, and there's no consolation in life without faith for me. And faith for me also is just a belief, and all rivers lead to the same ocean. I was born and raised Catholic, and that's still a big part of me, I think, but I'm looking for a different way, and have been most of my life, but I found that all rivers lead to the same ocean, and when you take the best and leave the rest, you usually end up with the same.
Thank you. Thank you, Sue.
So, Richard, for me, faith is unconditional acceptance. And unconditional acceptance here as well as outside of church. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think for me, one of the core values in my faith is that no matter what the church has done in the past in rejecting me, and it has been very good at it, that God has never not accepted me, that God has always accepted me and loved me, that I've always known I was a child of God. And thank God there are communities like this that can express that acceptance and love of God to all people.
I've struggled with words, faith, religion, spirituality, and continue to do that, but as a result, questions and curiosity remains enormous. But unfailingly, I've always believed and know in my core there is something greater than me that is all-powerful and all-loving.
For me, faith is really summed up mostly in the Second Testament reading. That basically we need to love God and we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And God is a creator who created the earth, and he sent us a messenger in the form of Jesus as an individual who shows us the sum and substance of the two great commandments.
Good morning. My name's Elizabeth Asahi Sato, and this is my first time coming here, and I know somebody. I grew up Buddhist and was a Buddhist most of my life, and I was the least likely ever to become a Christian, because I actually hated Christians. Christians have done a lot of really horrible things to Native American people. That's the other side of me. But one of these days, I'll hopefully be able to tell you my story, because God actually came to me one night. And so I've been walking as a Christian for about not quite half my life. God, our faith is amazing, it's beautiful, it's messy, it's confusing, it's growing, it's irritating, it's sad, it's joyful, it's filled with love, it's forgiving, it's complicated, it's tough. It's really, really tough. And I haven't been going to church for about a year, because I went to a church in Camas for about 11 years where me and my three African-American, Japanese, Native American sons attended. And not once, I mean, it's every Sunday people said, "Are you new?" I mean, it's kind of hard to miss me, you know, with long black hair, you know, furry eyebrows. And after my sons went off to college, I just got really sad, because I went through the toughest struggle of my life, and not one person came and said, "I care about you, and I love you, and you've been coming here for 11 years." So I decided to just be quiet, and every Sunday just spend time with the Lord on my own. And at 7 o'clock this morning, the Lord led me to this church. So, I don't know what he has in store, but I know that God is amazing, and faith, it's how I live and breathe, so I'm here.
Wow. Yeah.
And I wasn't going to say anything.
Well, we're so glad you did. So glad. Is there anyone else? Oh, good. Just this down here.
So good. Thanks. Well, for me, faith is freedom from fear. Because for most of my life, growing up in a very conservative church, you all know about, when I was a kid, we would go in there, and I was so concerned with being perfect and getting it perfect and, you know, getting right on my sacraments and saying the prayers right and everything. I was sick to my stomach before we even walked through the door. So here, well, in this church anyway that we finally found, it's like family, and we all know that here. I mean, I feel so comfortable here with everybody, but it's that freedom from fear when I get up and play the guitar, and we haven't even practiced it, knowing I can flub it, and it doesn't really bother anybody, and if it does, they're sweet enough to keep their mouths shut about it. And it's that freedom, you know, to walk through the day and know that I can think a rotten thought about somebody and I'm not going to hell, that the only hell I believe in now is the one I'm creating for myself, you know. And so for me, faith is just freedom, freedom from fear.
This is my first time talking into a microphone. Well, for me, faith has been a very, very long journey. I've always known, much like this lady up here, I don't know her name, but she said she's always known there was something bigger than herself. And I've always known that, too, since I was a child. Always knew there was something bigger, wonderful, loving, accepting than myself. And as I've gone to different churches and talked with different people, I kept thinking, no, that's not my spot. But when I came here, this just seemed like an answer. It's very community-oriented, which is what I think we all love. Every Sunday since January, I've met a new person, learned a new name, and been accepted again and again, and I just love it. So it's about community, freedom from fear, what that other gentleman said, and being able to sit here with this microphone and feel okay about it. This is so different for me, as this church is. And faith is just, like Christina said, you know, God is in all of us, and I think we all do him justice. Thank you for including me and giving me this opportunity. Thank you, Richard.
Let's give everyone who has shared today a big hand. Oh, we have one more comment.
Two comments. One, Richard pulled a sneaky. He got out of the sermon by having us do it. And I think we are the most God-enriched group of people in this world. We are rich not in money, but in love. That is the most incredible thing you can have and give away. It's unlimited and available to each of us, and we give it away every day, don't we? Yes, we are the best.
Don't want to short anybody. All right, well, I was just told that I pulled a sneaky and got out of preaching a sermon, but I want you to know that I had some stuff prepared in case you didn't come through, which you'll hear another time. With something from the Gospel of John, not my words, but Jesus's. John is the only one who tells this piece. You know, we talked about the Great Commandment. Well, according to the Gospel of John, at the Last Supper, after Judas had gone off to do his business, Jesus said this, "Now I'm giving you a new commandment, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must love one another. This is how all people will know that you are my disciples, because you have such love for one another." Amen.
Please.